Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovic, Dr. Dave Stoop, and phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for joining us today on New Life Live.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really?
You're a mom, and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision, because, when Jesus tells us in John 14, new commandment I give you, to love each other. And love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa. Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life, when a child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two fine men, Dr. Dave Stoop.
I do.
And Mylon Yurkovic.
Hey, how are you?
Well, doing great. You know, we were talking about the birth control controversy that's going on right now, that young women on birth control, single young girls.
Teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Up 50% the amount of girls that are on birth control pills. What do you think? Would you put your daughter on birth control pills if they were 16 all over again?
No, I wouldn't. I would begin to teach them the adult responsibility of what happens when you play with fire.
Yeah.
And, my goal is to give my girls and my sons enough rope and exposure by the time they're in junior high and high school about all kinds of places where they're going to need to say no.
Right.
So that they have the ability to have an adult voice when they walk into adult relationships. And it's going to be their choice at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I had sons, but I have granddaughters. And my granddaughters, two of them are 20, 28, and they weren't on birth control pills, and they did fine.
Yeah. My daughters did not, and they were fine.
They had good training.
Well, I wouldn't want that. Now,
it's almost like saying, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I will say this. If you had a daughter that was wild, rebellious, and you'd really done a horrible job, you'd want to do everything you could to prevent her from getting pregnant.
Well, I think that's true.
I mean, let me give you the principle. You wouldn't...
I thought I got it, actually.
Well,
let me just go ahead and spell it out.
But I need to hear it.
Here's the principle. You wouldn't say, okay, I've taught my child to run out in the street. If I see a car coming and I see my child playing in the street, I'm just going to go ahead and let them get run over by the car. I mean, after all, I've taught them to be responsible in playing in the street. You would do everything you could to get that child out of the street to prevent them.
Yeah, your analogy breaks down, though, because...
I have never had an analogy break down. Let's
I kind of liked it better when you just said the principle, really.
Yeah, because there's a message given when a parent puts a daughter on birth control.
Wait a second. I didn't say I would do it unless I knew that child was wild, rebellious. I had done a horrible job raising them.
If you've done a horrible job raising them, then it doesn't matter pretty much what you do.
Well, I think if you say, all right, Mike, for whatever mistakes that have taken place, for whatever situations have occurred, because life isn't perfect.
Yeah.
I realize my daughter tends to be promiscuous. My sons tend to be promiscuous, et cetera, et cetera. What am I going to do? Am I going to tell them anything?
Well, okay. Then you do it. I mean, if
well, that's what I was saying.
Okay, yeah.
You must not have been listening.
No, I told you
I didn't get it.
I
knew that. I knew you weren't listening to me.
But I still come back to that the parent who does that, who's done an average job, giving the daughter permission.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that.
And I think a lot of parents, especially women, will project their own behavior in their teenage years onto their daughters.
Good point.
And then have fear and then want to mitigate that fear by...
Yeah, I was promiscuous, so they will be too.
Right.
And maybe they will because of that.
Well, I got to tell you, I am so grateful that Madeline is not promiscuous, was not, and that just was never an issue.
But you got another
one. Now, it'll be interesting to see the emails of how people misheard the way you did, Dave, what was said. We do not believe in putting young girls on birth control pills. Let me just say that right out loud. We'll be back after this for more New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to Roger, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He listens online. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you to expand a little bit on a comment you made last Thursday about the difference between pleasing people and trying to connect to God with our isolation compared to trying to please God and then connect deeply with people. And I just wonder if you kind of expand a little bit about how to connect better with God and with people deeply.
Okay. Well, I think you gotta change the word connect to the word, two words, seeking approval. Because that's the concept I was trying to communicate. That oftentimes we seek approval of the people around us, regardless of what God's standard is. And so essentially, we're disregarding God while trying to make people think favorably of us or make us look better than mm-hmm. other people. Whereas the spiritual perspective would be, I'm going to live my life not to please people, but to please God. And I'm going to do two things with regard to people. I'm not going to worry about what people think. Now, I'm talking about from a perspective of doing the right thing. And I'm not going to compare myself to other people in any areas. I'm going to be grateful. So it was taking your focus off of others and their opinion of you and considering your relationship with God. Well, does that make sense?
The other part of it, I think you're looking at, Roger, is you said isolation.
Right.
And I don't think you can please God by living in isolation.
True.
I think that he put us in community.
Yeah.
And
I agree
so,
with that.
So the pleasing God always involves being in community.
What do you think, Roger? What caused you to ask? I mean, talk to us.
Well, the dynamic I thought made a lot of sense. And I know as far as trying to please God, God already accepts us.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. approves us and everything. And
no, wait, hold on. You made a mistake. It's an easy one to make. God accepts us, but he doesn't approve of everything that we do.
Correct.
See, God's love is unconditional. His approval is not unconditional.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But I thought it was an interesting way you paired it up, and it made sense to kind of flip that backwards.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at some of the books that I've went to an EMB workshop, and then I've read How We Love, and now I'm reading Changes That Heal. And the ideas about how to connect better with people is something I've got an interest and a need in my own life. So I'm looking
right.
at how to connect better with folks and how to connect better with God. Sometimes I don't always sense his love. And I think I'm learning that really comes through the body loving me.
Well, here's another way
it
comes.
Definitely. That's a great point, Roger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's another way it comes is, if you want God's approval, you connect with others, not just them loving you, but you serving them. And I believe when we have this humble servant attitude and serve others, I think there's a, when our God's love is administered through us, I think we have this, wow, you know, God's active and involved in my life. And I felt his love as it was used by me to love somebody else. I think that's the other angle on that, too.
Hey, Roger, did you have an experience of conditional love in your past where you weren't sure whether you were loved and accepted by a parent?
I had a dad who loved me very much, but he was kind of passive in terms of training me.
Uh-huh.
And a mom who was sort of the center of family conflict.
Uh-huh.
Demanding.
Uh-huh. So do you think that those two experiences of a parent authority figure have somehow shaped your view of God, and that may be part of why you're asking the question?
Possibly, but I don't understand what the what that is yet.
Okay, well, there's this passivity that Dad has. So let's say you project that onto God. I can do anything God, I can do anything to get God's attention, but it really won't raise much of his, you know, his attention. He barely notices me. Or
we interpret God through the lenses of our father.
Sure.
Typically is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. We can project the parental experience, our lens of our dad or our mom. Or we assume
mostly dad, yeah.
Mostly dad, okay. Or we can assume that with mom, who was a dominating central force, that, you know, somehow I have to appease, because if she's a dominating center of the home universe, then everybody's having to appease her. So that sort of sets up expectations even subconsciously onto God that, I better make him happy. And then it's hard to get his attention, and so we get confused about,
yeah.
Is God attentive? Does he have his eye upon me? Is he smiling at me?
The next book you ought to read is I'm a little bit self-promoting here, is Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, because that takes you through a process of healing with what Mylon's talking
about. I'll send
about.
It to Roger.
And that will build right on what you've been reading and how we love and changes that heal. They kind of go right on track.
Roger, are you in the military?
I am.
Thank you for serving us.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Roger.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you. Thanks for
you guys doing all that you guys do to really try to help bring light to truth here.
Well, thanks for bringing up the point today, and we'll get that book off to you. I'll also send you my new book, Walking Into Walls, 5 Blind Spots That Prevent God from Doing the Work He Wants to Do in Our Lives. Let's go to Paul from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
I've been better, buddy.
What happened?
Sunday, when my wife came home from work, she told me that she was tired of fighting, and she packed her stuff, and she moved out, and come to find out, so did my best friend that lived next door.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Wow. That's painful. It happened to me, my friend. Oh, my goodness. That's rough. How you doing with that?
Well, I've had 2 hours sleep since Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I went and seen my pastor, and she prayed with me yesterday, which that was a big blessing. And I've pretty much been sleeping with my Bible laid open, you know, on my chest, and I'll sleep for about a half hour, and I'll wake up in a cold sweat or whatever, and then I'll read for 2 or 3 hours, and then I'll doze off again because I just can't stand to be awake anymore. But
okay, so what was your reaction when she said she wanted to leave?
Well, for the past, she started working at school,
mm-hmm.
Probably 8 years ago, and I noticed that she was kind of starting to get withdrawn. And I tried to talk to her about it, and, you know, and she wound up going to school, wanting to go to nursing school, which all these decisions, she just kind of came home and said, this is what I'm doing. No communication between us. And I've only been saved since 06,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord just put it in my heart just to read and study his word, and he revealed it to me that, you know, that it was my job to take care of my kids was to love their mother.
Yeah, right.
And I just told her, I said, here's the deal. I know that in the past or whatever like that, I might have let you down, or, you know, if you thought that I should have been something that I'm not, I'm sorry. But what I want to do is lay my life at your feet as your husband, but yet as your servant, as Christ loved the church enough to die for her. If like if anything's ever bothering you or you need to talk or whatever, you know, I'm here.
But that wasn't enough for her.
No, well, she started the nursing program, Steve, and once she got focused on something. We have three boys together. Our oldest one's 24, which his birthday was just happened to be Sunday when she left.
Mm.
And my youngest one just got a job with this guy, so he's got to look at him every day.
Oh, wow.
And my middle one is 18 years old, and I stayed up with him until midnight last night trying to comfort him because evidently this has been going on right under our nose for a long time.
All right, what's your question for us then?
I really don't know. I mean, one part of me says to be patient and wait, but she told me that she's done and she's not coming back. And you know, and for, you know, like I said, the past 7 years, I've been, you know, struggling, trying to get her to communicate with me. And I asked her why she left, you know. I mean,
you do know why she left. I mean, there was broken connection between the two of you, and there was overwhelming temptation from him.
Yeah.
So you put the two together, and you end up, you know.
Well, you know, Paul, what I would suggest to you is that you work on you.
Yeah.
And
patiently work on you.
Yeah, and don't let her decide what, you know, what's going to happen. Don't you take any an action because this thing, you know, may hit the fan and fall
right
apart at some point. And then you have to decide, okay, can our marriage be rebuilt?
What's the average affair? Isn't it something like 6 months or something like that before the people realize, hey, this...
Well, I don't know that... I don't know that statistic. I think what happens is once you leave and go public and everybody knows, it loses its luster.
Yeah.
Because part of what makes an affair work is the secrecy and hiding it all because that gives some excitement to it. Yeah. And then once you leave and you go public, it's like now it's just a relationship.
Right. Yeah,
and all the realities of relationships start to come in.
Yeah.
So you don't know, Paul. You don't know what's going to happen, and you just need to work on you. You need to grieve because what was there wasn't what you thought it was, and grieving involves being angry and protesting inside and with somebody that you trust, and the sadness, and you feeling the sadness now, obviously. But it does. The pain does lessen gradually as you start to take some positive steps. But, boy, that's a painful, painful situation.
Milan, what do you think?
Well, Paul, I believe that my guess is that a disconnection took place some time ago of your wife.
Yeah.
And she began to demonstrate that to you by making independent decisions, by going to nursing school, by simply announcing what she was going to do to you. So at some particular point in time, she disconnected. So, by the way, did she have any previous relationships that were significant before she met you?
No, we've been together since we were 15 and 16.
Okay, so stick then with this point. She disconnected with you, and then she made you all bad. And when do you think that occurred? How long ago?
Oh, I'm wanting to say probably 8 years ago. Right when our youngest one started going to school all the time, she got a job and she left the house because she was a stay-at-home mom. And she got her a job. And once she kind of started working in the school, I could kind of watch her. I could watch her change.
Okay. And see, that's the important thing is to go back even and say to your wife, what happened 8 years ago? Or what was 8 years ago? It was a breaking point. You disconnected from me. I became all bad. And you basically became distant and apathetic toward me. And so we could understand then what the atmosphere or would be for her to then develop an interest for somebody else because basically she's gone. So she left you not last Sunday, but 8 years ago.
That's what I've come to the conclusion.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's where I'd go back and say, honey, what happened? And then I'd fight for her and I'd say, look, we can, as Dave said, we can rebuild this, but I need to be a different person. Yeah. And so there's a part of me then that's worried about you. When Dave said, Paul, you work on you, here's the part that I would be concerned about if I'm Paul. How come I didn't notice that, and how come I haven't done any fighting for that reconnection in the last 8 years?
I have.
Oh, okay.
But why didn't it work?
But why did what you did not be effective,
I think, is what you want to look at.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul.
We're sorry.
We are very, very sorry. Let me send you my book, Walking Into Walls. There are a couple of blind spots there that I think will help you. It'll open your eyes to some things, and we're very sorry. I also send you Healing is a Choice. It's essentially my journey, 10 choices that you're going to need to make if you're going to heal from this. I guess our message to you is to be patient, but don't wait. Don't just do nothing. No. Fight for your marriage here.
And work on you.
And go talk to that best friend of yours. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Well, very sad.
You know, Steve, if a person has a tendency toward idealism and going all bad and then ideal, there's got to be an ideal out there, especially when they met at 15 years old. Yeah. And they feel love start to drift away or go cold or all of a sudden the thrill is gone.
That's when the work begins.
Well, that's when the work begins. Unless you think that love should be magical, mystical, it should involve no effort.
That's part of our society's definition of love. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so then you search for this thing called a soulmate and somebody that's going to create that pop, zing, and sizzle again. And Paul... it can be hard to fight against that idealism.
But you know why? I think Paul represents a lot of people who don't understand. You know, they're hit out of the blue and they think, well, am I stupid, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not, because the spouse believes in the other spouse until proven wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, everybody else may be able to see it, but I don't see it because I really believe in my partner.
Right.
And until it smacks me right in the face, and that's a common experience.
And and it's not just men.
No,
this could be a problem the other way around too,
because both ways.
Men can do the same thing.
Right.
So.
Okay, this past weekend we were at the New Life Weekend, and I want Terry to play a little excerpt of someone that went through. Here's the result in their life from our New Life Weekend.
This weekend has been a blessing. My eyes have been opened to the truth, and I know that I have a lot to work on. I leave here with clearer thinking, a desire to trust the Lord and believe that His plan is better, and I leave here needing to forgive key people in my life. To anyone considering attending this event, I'd say come. It can start a healing process or spark continued growth. Coming is like striking a match for yourself. The light dispels the darkness.
Amen. Well, if you've been thinking about a weekend, we've got the Women in the Battle, we've got Every Man's Battle, and Lose It for Life, and then the New Life Weekend coming up next year. One of the great testimonies was from the lady that didn't think she was strong as a woman, but she had tracked down her daughter's crack dealer and met him face-to-face and looked him up and down and told him to quit it. I like that. That is a strong woman. Let's go to Charlene from Deford, Michigan. WSNL is the station. Hi, Charlene.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Are you still there?
We're here.
We are here for you.
Okay, good. I know what I have to do in my life. I have to quit smoking, I have to exercise, and I need to change my diet, but I don't know how to get out of my chair and do it.
Okay. Well, you know, it sounds like you've got this one element of awareness. You got that down. So,
oh, yeah.
So that's
okay. Good.
But awareness doesn't include desire, does it?
No.
But you actually want it to be different, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But wanting doesn't include willingness. And that's what you got to work on. Lord, help me to seek your will and make me willing to do whatever it takes to align my life with your will for me. And his will is for you to not smoke anymore, not sit around and be obese. His will is for you to be healthy and healed and active and serving him.
Uh-huh.
Got to work on the willingness. And then if you discover that there's no willingness at all, just uh-huh. comply. just comply. Do the right thing. Just comply. Oh. Whether you're willing to or not, do it.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing, Charlene. Do one only. Just pick one of them and do it. And I would pick the diet one. I would start to, because that one you can kind of set up by what you buy at the store and just start to eat healthy. And uh-huh. as you start to change your diet and to eat healthy, then add the exercise.
Well, but you got to have a person to help you.
Oh, you got to have somebody help you with
help
that.
Help you definitely. Exercise, help mm-hmm. you be accountable. You've got to connect.
And, but don't try to do all three at once.
No. But you're isolated, okay. kind of, aren't you?
Isolated?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah.
So you need to get in a women's Bible study and start to develop some friendships and stuff. Mylon, your angle on this?
Charlene, when did you begin to feel a sense of helplessness toward life?
Pretty much when I turned 50.
Before that, you had no problems with helplessness?
Not so much, but more when I turned 50.
So 50, you know, those decade birthdays can be pretty traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it scared you. What did it do to you?
Well, I basically realized that I don't spend money right, and I'm going to have to work probably till I die.
Okay, so you're probably depressed with the reality of what you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that can help us understand then why it's hard for you to get motivated to begin to move. Because you're depressed and you're overwhelmed by this thing called life, and I'm 50 and rut-row, mm-hmm. you know, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So are you talking to anybody about that depression and the harsh realities of turning 50?
I have gone to counseling.
How
then
many?
I start feeling better, and then I don't go again.
Okay, so so there's the snag,
mm-hmm.
you know, to try to continue to work on that and to somehow create a new perspective, a reframe,
yeah.
That will allow you to repurpose your life.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to start with some kind of group, whether it's a stop smoking group, a stop eating compulsively group. You're gonna have to start with group. Getting yourself connected with some other people. And I think Dave's got a good angle on this thing. Start with the eating. Come to the Lose It for Life weekend. that we're going to have in November. That will be one amazing time for someone like you. It'll get you out of the chair.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we're back.
I was saying, Steve, I said, I'm, you know, Charlene hit the big 5-0. Well, I'm 62, and I've come to the harsh realization that I have to work for the rest of my life. You know, I put a little sign in my office that says, if I croak in this counseling chair, call this number, you know.
Yeah,
so it's like, what do you do? You just have to accept these realities. And aging is hard.
But if you enjoy what you're doing, why stop?
Right.
See, and a lot of people don't enjoy what they're doing.
Do you know how many in California marriage and family therapists start their careers at 50?
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
I started at 38.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so you hear this story. I went to my therapist. I thought the guy was asleep. I thought he was bored, but he was dead. Now I'm having to go to another therapist just to deal with the death. My trauma killed my counselor.
I loved Mylan, but now he's dead. Oh, my gosh. I can't find anybody like him.
Hey, I want to talk to somebody very special. Her name is Shelley Martinkus. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Shelley has been meeting with Every Man's Battle, where while Jason, her husband, does the lecture, she comes in and gives the men the perspective from a woman's point of view, what happens when he is in trouble. But now she's going to come to our Women in the Battle workshop. What are you going to do there, Shelley?
You know, I am going to get the opportunity to share with those women just where I've come from and my story, and then also what has happened since Jason and I have gone through our recovery.
Okay, and that should be giving people a tremendous amount of hope, but also a connection that they're not alone.
Right.
Yeah. What are you hoping is going to happen there at that weekend when you come?
I think the biggest thing, I'm just hoping that my story and the other ladies that are coming to share, that we are able to give the women their hope, and, you know, just that they'll walk away from that and know that their life can be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I think that's the biggest thing, though, is just hope for those women.
All right. Well, thank you, Shelley, for joining us today, and thanks for being willing to work with Women in the Battle. That's going to be in September, and our colleague Sherry Denham is going to be doing most of the sessions.
Do we have a location for that yet?
We do.
But we're not telling.
We aren't?
I don't know.
San Jose.
Okay.
Northern Cal.
Right? Yeah. San Jose, Northern California. Okay. Thank you, Shelley. Boy, she really does help these men. They love hearing.
I would think that would be phenomenal if I was a group of guys sitting there and have a woman come in and give their perspective from a recovery, you know, she and her husband. That's so exciting.
That helps them when they go home.
Oh, yeah.
Understand their wife's reaction, yeah. Especially, but more than that.
Anything to help you understand your wife's reaction to anything is helpful, I think. Just
amen.
As a, you know, general guideline. Kathy from Orlando, Florida, WTLN is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great.
We're having way too much fun here, Kathy.
You guys are a hoot. Sometimes after a long weekend of not working, I can't wait to get back to work so I can hear you guys.
Thank you. How could we help you today?
Well, I have a question. I'm going to start with that because I'm afraid I'll forget the question.
Okay.
So, I'm wondering what causes some people to fight for their marriage and others to just let them walk.
Okay.
I let mine walk. I mean, he was having an affair, but I didn't know it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't fight. I didn't do anything. I still wouldn't know what to say to her if I saw her. And I hear people talking about how they went up to her, threatened her life, took their cars. I mean...
Yeah, but you know what? With the information you had, you did the best that you could.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah. So you have to give yourself a break. And when you develop some kind of insight later about people fighting and all, you just can't beat yourself up over that. You did the best you could in a horrible circumstance. Dave, you
thought? Well, I just had a lady who went and confronted the other lady, and they were fighting in the middle of the street with brooms.
Okay,
you know?
All right.
But it didn't help. It didn't make anything any different.
Yeah.
I think...
Wait a minute. Was that because they flew
in?
They flew in on a broomstick? Or why were they fighting with brooms?
I don't know why they had brooms.
They had just seen Harry Potter.
Was it Broomhilda?
Yeah.
This was a while ago, before Harry Potter.
Wow.
I think, Kathy, that some people fight for their marriage because there was enough there. See, affairs happen for different reasons. Sometimes an affair happens just out of an impulse that takes place, and the marriage isn't that bad that you can't blame the marriage for it. The guy just becomes stupid and gets caught.
It's a one-time thing.
And sometimes it's a way to express anger because I don't know how to express my anger. Sometimes it's a characterological issue, and that becomes one where you maybe don't fight. But so you got to look at maybe kind of what causes what was the type of affair. But it's also, I think, a woman, say, who will fight for her marriage believes that there was something there that was worth holding on to. And if you don't believe there was something there because you had grown so far apart, it's like, what's there to fight for? And maybe that's what your experience was. It's like, what do I fight for? There was pretty much gone before this happened, and this was just like the last nail in the coffin. So don't beat yourself up over that.
Does that resonate with you, Kathy? What Dave said? Does that resonate?
Yeah, it does. But I just, you know, I guess I'm looking, I guess that would help me in a next relationship, which I'm not nearly ready because it's only been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kathy, yeah. I have another question for you. Do you have a difficulty formulating your thoughts and expressing, having that adult voice in other arenas of your life, work, kids, friends, or do you just kind of let people kind of roll over you?
It just depends on what it is, I guess.
Well, what would you say would be your adult voice level? Do you have a good adult voice with other people?
Maybe like 50%.
Okay, so then it could be then your marriage fell into the 50% where you just didn't have a voice. I don't know. I'm trying to say here, typically people that have a voice have the ability to speak, have the ability to confront, have the ability to engage in conflict, will have that voice. But those of us that are more passive, the victim types, the pleaser types, the avoider types, even an introverted type, they may have less to say. And you're interpreting that as a fight.
Well, and the other part of that is maybe you don't know how to get angry. Because if you're going to fight for your...
I've learned to do that in the last couple of years. I'm okay. Like I said, I've been in...
But to fight for your marriage...
Well, in the last couple of years, she says, and so...
Since this happened. So sometimes it takes the anger, the protest to say, I'm going to fight for this thing. So that would be part of what you're saying.
Right,
as well.
Because us, you know, the pleaser types, the recovering pleaser types or victims, they have an underdeveloped sense of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't know how to fight back or push back or even formulate their thoughts when they get angry. At least I didn't. I've gotten a lot better at it.
Well, and women in general have a hard time doing the anger part.
Well, not because, some of the women in my office.
Well, after the fact, yeah.
Well, no, just even before. I mean, I'm saying I think some people, the controller, the vacillator wives, they have a very good time expressing themselves.
Dave, you're so nice, it's hard for people to be angry in front of you. Maybe that's...
Oh.
Maybe that's it.
So positive.
Well, yes. Kathy, so what do you do with this, you know? What do you do with this that you didn't fight and... You're still curious why you didn't?
Yeah, I was listening to this lady and she was telling me her story and I was like, I was just so astounded that she would fight like that. But
so
guess what?
Yeah,
they're still married 28 years later.
Yeah, so you got to forgive yourself.
Oh yeah,
and you
got to
accept it as reality and move on beyond it so that you're not calling a radio show in 5 years going, why didn't I fight?
And don't put it all on you because, you know... Part of what I said was that it could be the dynamic. Part of what Mylan's saying is that it could be something in you. And it could be both of those. And I would do some counseling just to explore my own development so that that's not an issue in the future.
Oh, well, I have been. I have been in counseling.
Kathy, when you do enter into the next relationship, if and when you do, these issues will all get tested again because primary relationship evokes internal responses within us to either push out or pull in. So you're going to need to make sure that you represent yourself and have that adult voice right from the get-go, and then you fight for yourself daily and what's right within the relationship on a daily basis.
Correct. All right.
That's why I was calling, because I'm thinking about the next time around, I want to be able to
I heard that.
So start it. Don't wait for a problem. Just stand
represent.
Up for yourself
yeah.
and be able to speak for yourself is the key part of that.
Yeah, yeah. I love her call. I think it's a great proactive call.
Got the perfect book for her. It's called Walking Into Walls. Coming your way, fresh out of the box. I birthed it from the shipping box yesterday, and I hope you'll like it because there are 5 blind spots listed here, or walls, that people run into, and they prevent God from working in your life. So if you want God to work in your life, walking into walls is not the thing to do. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of the wise and witty Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylan Yurkovich. And your phone call is 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are.
but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we've got two other shows to do after this one. This is our final segment in this show, so please hold on. We'll get right to you. And let's go over here and talk with Cynthia. Cynthia from Los Angeles, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing good, thank you.
Great. How could we help today?
Well, I have a feeling, I feel that my husband's had an affair.
Why do you feel that, Cynthia? Why do you feel it?
Well, I shouldn't say I feel it. There's been some signs.
Like what?
The biggest thing was one late afternoon he had come home from work, and he went to give me a hug and a kiss, and I could taste perfume on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I before that he was acting really distant for like a couple months, not interested sexually.
Yeah. Radical change in behavior. Scent of a woman, and the taste of perfume. What else?
Before that, I had this odd feeling that something was not right, and I really started praying for God to give me signs.
Okay.
And that was one of them. I found a note in his truck that just had, he cleaned out his truck, and in the garage after he cleaned out his truck, I found this piece of paper with woman's writing on it that
said what?
Had like, you know, it had just like, just appointment type stuff on there. You know, it was sort of like a big scroll writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked him, you know, what's this? And he said, I don't know, you know, that's not mine, that's yours. And I said, it's not mine.
Okay, so what is the question for us that we could help you with, given what you're seeing there?
My question is, I tried to confront him with it. He doesn't admit it. I don't know how to go on in my marriage
feeling like he's had
an affair when I don't have any, like, proof.
Okay. All right, so we can help you with that.
Okay.
To try to accuse him of it is probably not going to get you anywhere until you find some other kind of evidence. But what about going to him and not talking about the affair and saying, we are disconnected. We don't trust each other. I don't trust you. You don't seem to care about that. You defend yourself, but you don't ever jump over here and say, gosh, why? What's happened to us that you would think that? It's shocking that you would think that about me. So let's get some help for our connection. Dave?
He has said that to me in so many words, like, I can't believe that you would think that of me, that you think I'm that type of a person. It really hurts me.
But did he go on to say, so let's get some help to help that, see? Or is that just another way of defending yourself?
Yeah, did you say something about the perfume when you tasted it? And he would defend that also.
Oh, no, did I say something? No, you know, honestly, I hired a detective.
Oh, and what did you find out? Anything?
You know what? I didn't. It was just came to the point where I just felt like it was so deceiving. I only hired him for one day, and then I let him go because it just didn't sit well with me. I felt,
you know, hey Cynthia, what Steve is saying to you is the direction I think you need to go, which is you talk about what's happening in our relationship. You know, for me to think that you would be having an affair says something's going wrong with us, and I don't know what it is, and I'm trying to figure it out, and we need to get help. So we need to see somebody who works with couples Not somebody, you know, you got to get both of you in the same room at the same time with the counselor. And we got to repair what's going wrong in our marriage before it becomes a problem, a bigger problem. And that's where I would go. Don't get fixated on the affair. You're alert to it, you know, which what I'd always think tell women is, you know, you're alert now. You're not ignoring or denying any of this stuff. And if it really is happening, God's going to give you something that is so blatant that even he can't deny it. So put it on the shelf and just keep your eyes open and pay attention. But then talk about what's going on with us. We got to get some help because we're not heading in the right direction anymore. Something's changing and I'm not sure what it is. And it's something that I'm doing. It's something you're doing. We're both doing. We got to get some help together. And that's where I would go with it.
We have, honestly, we've gone to a couple of things. We had gone to counseling and stuff. It's just so hard for me to let
sure.
it go.
Oh, well, I wouldn't let it go.
No, don't. I'm not telling you to let it go.
No,
I'm
it's
just
not
saying
time.
Quit. You know, don't make that the focus of everything, because all it does is he denies, and you press, and then that makes things worse. And finally, you know, who knows where that goes? Focus on what's happening in your relationship and saying, we got to get some help and fix this before it gets really bad.
All right, just a few.
What are you going to send her?
I'm going to send her walking into walls.
Okay.
Because that's going to help her. One of the big walls is blind ignorance. Oh my goodness.
Well, she's not blind anymore.
Not anymore. But and then there's the wall of justifiable resentment, and she's justified.
Yes.
I'll send that to you. We have a $100,000 match that was met. Thank you for all of you who contributed to that. Oh, thank you so much. And to our major donor who said, hey, we'll help you. Now, you could be a part of Club New Life. So many benefits to Club New Life. We need 500 people to join to hit our goal of 1,000 new people, which means we operate with $42,000 of revenue at the foundation. So please pray about it. If you think about it, join Club New Life. If you need some help, it's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433 if you need some help, or you can help us. Those numbers spell out 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really do want to help you. And, of course, you've got the website at newlife.com. Mylon, share a scripture with us here as we close out the program.
Well, to your point, Dave and Steve, in 1 Corinthians, it says in the middle of that love chapter we all talk about, it says, love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And I've had couples in my office over the years where we really talk through some of these fears of these places where a person has suspicions. And we truth wins out. We put the truth out on the table, and it takes a lot of work to make truth win. So I think that's where we have to, exactly what you guys are suggesting, we have to go to all these calls we've had today, have to go to places of new levels of truth and honesty with themselves and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, if you need some help, we could help your relationship. We could help you with the New Life Weekend, our Couples Weekend, Lose It for Life, also Every Man's Battle, and then the Women in the Battle coming up. You can find out about all those at newlife.com. Or just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now, we're going to be doing another program right after this, two more. And if you'd like to join us on that program, it's 1-800-229-3000 to be on the program. 1-800-229-3000. And I have one final request, and that is that you would pray for us. Some of you have the most amazing prayer life. And please pray that the support that we need here at New Life will come so that we can continue to do what we're doing right here for you every single weekday. Please pray. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich. Thanks to all who do support us, all who watch or listen. We are grateful that you do that. We never take you for granted. We are very, very conscious of you, and I hope you'll be with us again next time on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.